Thank you, Jesus.
That we would just come and drink of you this morning. We're coming to the river. We want more of you. Holy Spirit, you're so good. Nothing compares to you. God, I just pray that we would crave you. We'd be addicted to you, God, needing you constantly in our lives. And to even go that extra mile and to just seek you and spend time with you and to love on you. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about being thirsty for God. Okay? I'm going to give you a few here, but there's just so many. This isn't something that I'm making up. This is a powerful thing. Once the church gets this concept of just being thirsty and coming hungry, coming to church hungry, instead of let's just see what's going to happen. No, let's come with expectation. Let's come and see what God's going to do. All right? John 7:37 says, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Because he has living water, doesn't he? Let him come to me and drink. This takes action on our part. Again, revival doesn't come to you. You go to revival. You go and you seek. You go and have that thirsty heart and receive from him. I'm serious, you guys. I don't know how to get you out of any kind of complacency you might have, or even myself. We have to take action. If we go for a while without thirsty or without drinking, we get dehydrated.
That's right?
Mm-hmm. You can get dehydrated. And so I have a question for you. Are you dehydrated in your heart and spirit or your emotions? Do you feel, you know, weak? Do you feel like you just you don't have it inside you? Do you feel like you're dry inside when it comes to God? Now, coming out of this revival, none of us should. I'm telling you, you know, living water was pouring forth. But we can easily get back into our same old complacency and just kind of go back to where we were. Don't let that happen. Fight for it. Fight for it. Okay? It is time you get wet. It's time you dive into the living water and drink of God's goodness and soak in his presence. God's living water will not only take care of any dehydration as you drink, but as you allow God to saturate your entire being, you will be a living well for others. Right? There's so many things in this world that zaps people of their energy. There's so many things in this world that can cause hardship and bondage and put people in prison. Right? I don't know about you, but I'm a people. And we've talked about this, you know, going in the mall and just kind of watching people. Now, I'm not doing it to be judgmental. I'm not doing it to, you know, be critical or anything. I'm doing it actually because I'll see them and I'll start praying for them. Because I want to see them lifted higher. I want to see them come out of that muck and mire. Because this world has a tendency with the gravity to drag us down. You know what I'm saying? So I want to be a kingdom builder, and I want to lift people up and to help people. So if we have this living water that's just saturating us, and we're drinking in, and we're diving in, others will smell you, see you, and taste this living water from you. They can.
That's right.
Because you have this living water, and you just start talking. It's like the flame of God being on fire for God, and you start talking, and then this other like Radio Shack experience. I told you about what happened there, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the lady behind the counter, I started telling her about what the revival was going on and what God was doing, and she started crying. She started crying, and just was like, I could tell she was leaning closer and closer, and finally she grabbed me. You know, people are hungry.
That's right.
I want to say this: people are hungry whether they know it or not. All right. Yes. Because every one of us is created with that spot inside us that only God can fill.
Amen.
It's like this hole that's just trying to suck everything, you know. They get involved with, drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever. Okay, sucking, that's that hole that just tries to suck us in, right? And so what do we feel? If we fill it with God, then that hole doesn't get anything that's not supposed to be in it, right? So God is there taking what his rightful place. And then all that other junk doesn't matter. We're not hungry for that. But until then, these people, before they know Jesus, that hole is just sucking, trying to get something out of life, but not knowing what it is. Maybe if I just achieve this job, if I just get this career, you know, if I just get this boyfriend, if I just get married, if I just have all this money. And we can just keep on going with just get popular. But that's not it. All of those things God blesses us with, you know, when we need it. But I'm telling you what, the only thing that fills that hole is God.
Right.
And you are a living well walking around with the living water inside you, the living God to come and quench the thirsts of people. Your words, maybe just one word, maybe even your smile, can be exactly what that person needs that day. Seriously.
That's right.
Yeah. You know? So I want to be that for people. Living water is just that. Living. This water can't help but affect those around you. They are watching your life, whether you like it or not. People watch you. How do you react? How do you respond under pressure? And seeing your joy and passion, and they will want to hang around you. They might not know why, yet they have a desire to talk to you, and overall want to spend time with you. And these are the effects of your time spent drinking in the living water and soaking in His presence. I can think of Andy's little girl. Hi, sweetie. She's been my buddy, my little shadow, this whole time. And everywhere I go pray for somebody, and there she is standing right there. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Right, sweetie? We're buds, huh? And I believe it's because there's Jesus in me that she sees. All right? And I just love her. You know, love does so much, doesn't it? It attracts and never repels. Okay? All right. So, now, here's a statement. We need to get rid of our dignity. Well, Chris, you don't see, that's not my personality.
Yeah. Let go.
That's just not how I react. You're asking too much of me, Pastor Chris. Oh my goodness, God has messed up my hair so many times. And I have issues with that, so He did. So that's a good thing. Seriously, we need to get rid of our dignity. It can prevent us from letting go of ourselves to experience something new in God. Sometimes we take ourselves so seriously. I mean, we really do. Okay? We need to just let ourselves go. You know what? God created us for relationships with Him. Period. Enjoy it. That's what you're, one of the main things you were created for. Enjoy your relationship with God. Do you know He has such a sense of humor? He does. You know, God has His judgments. God has His, you know, He's everything. Love, peace, joy, all the above. He has a sense of humor, too. He wants us to enjoy life. So let's just lose our dignity. Who cares what people think of you? We should care more about what God thinks of us, right? He sees what truly is in our hearts and what we are thinking. And we can't hide anything from God. Why try? Right? Right. Right.
Just get over yourself and go on.
Thank you. Just get over yourself and go on.
That's it.
That's right.
I'm not being rude about it, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. It's not worth it. No. I'm not worth my... How do I word this? I am not that important compared to how important God is. Right?
Yeah.
So I just got to get rid of how important I think I am. And then just realize how important God is. So our dignity can prevent us from experiencing more of God. It can prevent revival from continuing on. It can prevent God from doing things in our future. Revival of our future. Do you have walls up that are preventing you from experiencing a revival in your heart? We need to see our humanity and His divinity and realize we are lost without Him. Who are we?
Nobody.
He's everything. But with Him, we're somebody, right? That's right. So let's just walk around with boldness because of who is inside us. Who are we to think we can survive without God in our lives or maintain our life without giving God everything? You know, we can't survive without God. So don't believe that lie, okay? Are you tired of how your life is going today? And this is almost like some of you have experienced coming out of this stuff that I'm saying. Some of you haven't. But are you tired of how your life is going today? What do you plan to do about it?
I'm going to revival.
What you change in your life today will benefit your future.
Absolutely.
So if you're tired of where you are today, change it. Change it. If you're expecting different results but doing the same thing over and over again, it ain't going to happen. All right? You have to change it. Many people think that their life will change by the government. Or, that's kind of, that'll bring up a can of worms. Or by some rich uncle passing away and leaving you with all this money.
That could happen.
It could, but I'm just saying. When will they realize that they are just wasting their life away if they're expecting, well, the government's going to come and bail me out of this. Or that you're owed something. You know what? We're not owed anything. We're going to go and pursue God. Okay? We're going to go and pursue the good in our life for our future. If you want to change if you want change to happen in your life, if you want revival to come, do something about it. Okay? If you want revival to stay, let's do something about it. Seriously, we can easily kind of get complacent. Okay, here we go. Pastor Obi's gone. No, it's like, no. Flame on. Let's keep on going. All right? Because this place is going to be filled. Matter of fact, we got that building waiting for us, and we need that building needs to be full. And then we're going to have several services a day. Okay, that's what I'm believing for the lost, the broken, the people that need to come in and to be revived. Okay? So we have to. If you want something to change in your life, you have to help. You got to put a foot forward. The first thing, the best thing that we can do is pray for God to help bring change. Ask Him what your part is in changing your life. Ask Him. No, just don't go out half mass and do whatever. Seriously, seek Him. Go, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want for my life? What action can I take to help bring in revival, not only to my life, but to other people? So don't think you're too old or too young for change to come. Be determined to take the land that is rightfully yours.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And Caleb, at the age of 85 years old, this is what he said. At the age of 85. Are there any 85-year-olds in here? I don't think so. And you don't even say you're close, okay? But it doesn't matter. Joshua 14:12, he said, give me my mountain.
Yeah.
And then he's speaking this out into his future, too. But he's telling the leaders, give me my mountain. I want this land. Joshua 14:12. When the inhabitants were dispersed, the giants were gone, they annihilated, and they started taking the territory, and different Israelites would get this land and this land and this land. And Joshua said, there was a mountain that he wanted. He said, give me my mountain. 85 years old. And that hill country was promised as an inheritance by God, because Caleb wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And that's in verse 14 of Joshua 14. You remember, those are the two spies. Joshua and Caleb were the ones that said, let's go take the land. And then the other 10 said no. And so 40 years in the wilderness. So now these two men, 85 years old, and he's saying, give me my mountain. I want it. We conquered it. Let's do it. Right?
Right.
So let's follow hard after God. Let's follow hard for what He has for us. Okay? And just kind of in conclusion here, Psalm 63, 1 through 8 says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. This is King James. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Before, Thy loving kindness is better than life. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee, and thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands to Your name. I love this, because He says, I'm thirsty for You. And His flesh is longing for Him. And He's saying, I'm going to bless You. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. This is a Psalm of David. Do you know that he wrote this when he was in the wilderness of Judah? He learned while in the wilderness how to follow hard after God by thirsting for water. It brought true meaning to thirsting for God. I remember one time I was in Nigeria with Sister Jenny, It was the day that the car broke down several times. And Nigeria is different than some of the other countries in Africa because it's really hot all the time and very humid. You have a rainy season that's hot and humid, and you have a hot season that's hot and humid. That's pretty much their seasons, okay? So take your pick. But anyway, Pastor Gideon, my host, I just love that man of God. And he got this new car. Well, it's a used car, but this one thing after the next was, it was a hard day, okay? And things would break down. And so the gas line first was broken, and so then he had to, didn't get gas, so we stopped, of course, pulled off to the side of the road, and there was motorcycles are always coming and going, so he gets on this motorcycle taxi, and away he goes. We're in the wilderness. It's Africa, okay? And so Jenny and I are waiting there, and we don't dare get out of the car. Two white Americans in some of the areas wasn't a good thing, so we just stayed in the car, but we were so hot, so we opened the doors, you know, fanning ourselves in the middle of the wilderness, you know, and it was just like one thing after the next. We got the hose to fix the car, and then we go down the road, and then we ran out of gas. Well, why did we run out of gas? Because, yeah, it all leaked out, and so, and then got that fixed and got some gas, and then, you know, so this is just taking hours and hours. What should have taken just a couple of hours to drive, it took us 10 hours. I was supposed to speak that night at Firm Foundation Church with Pastor Benjamin Karudu. We didn't make it for me to speak there. I mean, it was just one thing after the next. I think we broke down 5 times, and the poor man of God, he was just such a servant trying to get us to be where we were supposed to be. And one of the times, it was just like, Lord, just send your Kool-Aid. Wouldn't it be great to have some Kool-Aid right now? I don't know why we thought about it, but we were like, Lord, we could just use your Kool-Aid. But then we started thinking about that word, Kool-Aid. You know, we were thirsty. We were hot. We were in the wilderness. If you're not thirsty when you're in the middle of the wilderness, something's wrong with you. I'm serious. Okay? And so I ended up writing a song called Kool-Aid later on that night. We came to the hotel. Pastor Ben had, it was so wonderful. He had ice cream waiting for us. Remember that? And so, and he had these little things called pasties, and I love those. My grandma's Irish, so imagine that in Nigeria. But they had them there, you know, so we had ice cream, and we had pasties, and we had things to drink, and we were happy girl in an air-conditioned hotel.
Yeah.
All right. We were satisfied. But we're in the middle of the desert. We're sure longing. Wanting God's Kool-Aid and refreshing, wanting Him to quench our thirst in the natural. Well, do you know that God will always quench your thirst? God will always quench your thirst in the spiritual. You're thirsting after Him, He comes. Okay, it's just a simple thing. All right? So, looking at that verse, I just want to look at one thing that it's saying there. And it says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And that word watches, I'm just going to take it down to the original Hebrew. And it's translated like this. Watch, a period of time and a primitive root means properly to hedge about as with thorns. That is guard, generally to protect, attend to, beware, be circumspect, take heed, keep, mark, look narrowly. This is a lot of adjective. Observe, preserve, regard, reserve, save, sure, wait, watch. Now the Bible talks about different times, 4 watches that were observed. In Matthew 14:25 and Luke 12:38, you can see some of those watches. But David could be referring to the watches in the temple. You know, they could be referring to the watches at night with the guards in the palace. But at this point, being in the wilderness of Judah, at this point, he no longer was in the palace with the guards, which guarded his palace. At this point, he was in the wilderness. And I am sure he is remembering being with the congregation in the sanctuary, praising God. And he is remembering on his bed, which could have been a rock for his pillow and dirt for his bedding. Yet he is meditating on God and his goodness. And David didn't wait for a revival to come to him. No, he birthed a revival right then and there in his heart as he was meditating on God in the middle of this wilderness, being thirsty. He didn't allow self-pity to wallow up inside him. Do you know how hard that is for our flesh not to have that? Kind of did a little bit last night, didn't I? Nobody knows, but anyway. I was tired. Now, if you remember right, he was running for his life from King Saul, because King Saul wanted to kill him, all right? And he feared for his life. If David complained, we sure would understand. Yet this man of God decided to keep his focus on God, even in the night watches. He followed hard after God. So this is my challenge to you. I want you to follow hard after God. I want you to be a person who quickly forgives. Get rid of the junk that you keep on carrying with you. Don't let offenses come up. Guard against offenses. Can you do that for me in Hope Fellowship? All right? Because we've already seen them kind of come up. Just guard against it. If something happens and your feelers got hurt, take it to Jesus right away. Or go and talk to that person. Right? Don't let the anger or anything well up. Just let it go. And if someone comes to you and wants you to forgive them because they had like an offense or something, forgive them. Love them. Accept them right then. Don't put up walls and say, well, I didn't do that. Apparently something happened. So just love them. But let's be a house. Let's be a house, a family that loves each other and longs and hungers after God. So that as we bring revival into our future now, you know, and we just keep on moving and doing what God wants us to do, that we will grow, Hope Fellowship will grow, and the people around you will grow because of the love that's in you. Do you know that you can love people into revival?
Yes.
Yeah. Love just covers a multitude of sin. Love breaks down walls. All right? So this is my challenge to you. Let's do this, okay? Everybody in this room, everybody in this house, we are a family. We are, period. And we love each other, okay? And so I don't want to hear any, you know, backbiting or someone getting mad about this or someone getting mad about that. I want to see and continue to see the love of God just being poured out to all of us, okay?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Yeah. Let's stand this morning, okay? Yes.